Hello, listeners, and welcome back to the Dual Screens podcast. This is Andy, and we're on episode 3 out of 4 of our month-long celebration of games involving love and things we love and relationships and all the fun details in between. Now, joining us this week, this is a special one, is Claudia the Dev, developer of Ova Magica. And adorable, and that really puts it lightly, it is cute AF, people. An adorable farming and monster taming game with some life sim tossed in for good measure. Claudia, welcome to the show. How are you?
Hi, I'm pretty nervous, but also very honored that you have me here. And I'm excited about your questions. And yes, and hi to all listeners. I hope you will enjoy it.
Listen, don't be nervous. It's going to be a lot of fun. This show, I'm a big idiot, so don't worry about it. It's going to be great. For those of you who are new to the podcast, like Claudia here, this is the Dual Screens podcast, the world's number one indie developer interview podcast, probably. And this posts each Friday on your podcast service of choice, including iHeartRadio, Spotify, and on YouTube at youtube.com/dualscreenstv. Now, Claudia, I have a lead-off question for you to kind of get things going. It's a very simple question, and I want your immediate reaction to this. What does it feel like knowing that you're going to be a millionaire?
Oh, my. Oh, I wish I would know, but yeah, it feels great if it would happen, but we shouldn't go ahead of ourselves.
Because looking at this game, I'm thinking Pokemon level merchandising opportunities with blob plushies, and I can safely say within a year or so, by the time this game is out there in the wild, you'll be buying your first yacht. I think it's gonna happen. I can safely say it's gonna happen.
Well, in Germany, there aren't so many nice places for a yacht. If I should buy one, I can invite you. But I would be happy with just a new car, because my current car is really like garbage. What do you call it? My English isn't the best.
So no, that's perfect. Yes. The garbage car is perfect.
So let's maybe take small steps.
So I came across this game on Kickstarter. I think it was via email. I got one of those like alerts about it. I checked it out, and I never funded a game faster. I was right there. I saw about 5 seconds of the gameplay, and I was like, yeah, I'm going to back this project right off the bat. Full disclosure, I am a backer, and I'm damn proud of it. What did it feel like for you? This was more of a side thing you were working on, and you put it on Kickstarter with a very low amount of money, about 24,000 US to get it funded. And now you're sitting on what looks like $250,000. What is that like? Seeing that huge response, getting funded in less than 24 hours. What goes through your mind when you're seeing all this activity and all this love pouring out for your little game?
Well, it's like surreal, because I just wanted to be funded to make it full time, to work on it full time without struggling. I'm already working full time on it since this year, but I live already for my savings. So right. Kickstarter, I really need this Kickstarter. And now I am really happy because we have an artist and writer. There are many people involved. So, but also to have the security just to do it and not worry about anything. And I'm really mind blown about the support and how much people love this game. I didn't expect it. I expect it to be funded, else I wouldn't be brave enough to launch on Kickstarter, but not like in under 3 hours. It was kind of crazy. Yeah.
I mean, that's what you get though when you're willing to put your own life savings on the line to fund and develop your own passion project. And then when you put it out there, people see that you're coming from a place of love and passion for something. You're not in it for like the easy buck. You have heart in this project. And you can see that with the art style and the animation and this whole world that you've created. So why don't you tell us, our audience, what is Ova Magica?
Ova Magica is a cute game, and
Yes.
it's like an yes, it's really cute and colorful, but the main theme is like it's a farming game. If you enjoyed games like Stardew Valley or Harvest Moon, Story of Seasons, it's and farming and life sim. And the other big aspect is monster taming genre. So people who like Pokemon will enjoy it of for sure, I think. And what's special about it is that all monsters are like blobs. So all around and chubby and cute. And yes, you train them, feed them, pet. So the game is for people who like cute things, but also enjoy this kind of game genres.
Now, why did you go with blobs as the base design for this game's monsters or the creatures? Where did the blob idea come from? Are they
Okay,
just
that's
easy
not
to draw? Is that what it is?
well, yes, it's not a glamorous answer, but I say the truth. I started this alone, the project, and of course I thought, wow, having like 150 monsters like in Pokemon would be awesome, but who will model all this stuff, who will do all the things? I was alone, so I kind of started with the first monster. It was the blob. And then I loved it so much, and I came up with the idea to just differ it a bit, make different patterns for it, colors, give it bunny ears, cat ears, and then it evolved. Yes, but it wasn't like a master plan or something.
And this is not only, you were saying, a monster taming game, because initially when I first saw this, I was drawn for the Pokemon-like aspects of the monster taming genre. That's, you raise little monsters, you put them in battles, they have different abilities. But there's also that Stardew Valley Harvest Moon side of things as well, that you're managing a farm, and there's also you're building relationships with people. I just saw you can get married now with NPCs. So this is a lot of stuff going on in one
Yes.
game.
Well, I kind of threw all in, which I enjoy myself to play. So also when you ask me or people ask me if I had a concept before, no, I didn't. I just started as a hobby and thought, oh, I love this game so much. I want to try this too. And then all came together and Ova Magica was kind of created. And now it's something unique, special. But that's like it initially started. So not like a prototype or master concept, just me enjoying what I do. But after a short time, I noticed that it's so much fun and it's kind of good what I do. So I knew I wanted to do it like a professional.
So you were saying it's a hobby. How did you get on that path? Were you just one day playing a game, like playing some Stardew Valley or Harvest Moon? You were like just doodling in a napkin. How did you go from playing games of this genre to making one yourself? Where did that transition happen for you?
So what I have to say, game dev was a hobby, but my main job, I'm a professional C sharp developer and I can code really good. So like I'm not a person who never did stuff like this before, but I thought after work, as a kid, I enjoyed working with RPG Maker. I don't know if some people know it. It's like an yeah, you can like make own games, but it's not so hard. It's more of a simple stuff.
Right, it's got a very limited tool set for what it's good for what it is though, but it has
Yes.
its limitations.
And then I kind of forget about it. And one day after work, I played Stardew Valley. I played it very much. But then I thought, oh, Eric Barone did this all himself and he inspired me. Eric Barone is the creator of Stardew Valley, for those who don't know. And I was inspired by his success story and thought, why not try it myself? And so I started like learning the engine Unity and like doing half a year of tutorials. And my first step was pretty crappy. It wasn't like super cool. And yes, and by the end of 2018, I started with Ova Magica, and then it kind of turned out better after learning a lot.
Yeah, Stardew Valley. I refer to that game as Time Suck Farm. I think I spent way too much time playing that game obsessively. It's one of those games where once you start, like some of my friends who had only heard about Stardew Valley were asking if they should play it. I was like, unless you don't want to do anything else in your life and all productivity and maybe get fired from your job at some point, sure, go ahead and play Stardew Valley. What does the core gameplay loop look like in Ova Magica? What is, when you first start out, what are you doing? What is the character able to do in the onset of the game?
Well, so the first is you arrive in Clover Town, mm-hmm. like a new resident, and very fast you get your own blob and own farm. And the game loop is like the typical farming sim. You have an in-game day. It's from 8 a.m. to midnight, and mm-hmm. you can decide what you do in this time span. So you can work on your farm, go exploring, battling with your blobs, get to know the people better. And so every day can be different, and there isn't like a straight game tasks or something like that, mm-hmm. but more like you can explore and talk with this person or with this person, and it's like a slow progress depending on what you do.
Mm-hmm. Now, where does the battling come into play? Because you're on your farm with your blobs, and there's expeditions, I also noticed. When do the blobs fight other blobs? And why are they fighting each other if they're so damn cute? I can't imagine these things fighting at all because they're just so adorable. But here we are.
It's not so logical. Maybe like Pokemon a bit. You don't ask about such things. It's also, yes. But yes, all residents of Clover Town are like blob trainers. And you can battle. When you talk with them, you can also like battle with them. You raise actually your friendship with battling.
Oh, wow. That's interesting. Okay.
And with talking and battling and gifting, but you can also do it with battling. And this is like, are like friendly matches. So mm-hmm. there aren't a big risk. If you lose, okay. Nothing bad happened. Mm-hmm. And the other part of the game are like the expeditions. So to find new blob eggs or treasure, you will go into blob worlds on expedition, and there you will fight white blobs. And if you lose there a battle, you return home and lost everything you found there. So it's more like a risk.
A lot of stakes for that. Like I can't handle. And actually, yeah, that sounds a lot like relationships and marriage. There's a good deal of fighting along the way. So it makes total sense to me. I want to touch a little bit on that, actually, the whole relationship part of this game and marrying someone that you can eventually get to. So is it just done through battling someone and you're building that relationship? Is it also going on missions with NPCs to strengthen that bond? How do you go from meeting someone in the town and just casually fighting them to build that bond to actually one day marrying them in the game itself? What does that look like?
So when you talk to a person or battle or gift stuff to them, of course they should like the stuff you give them, so not give him like garbage, but you raise
like your car, yeah. Right?
For example. But well, I would keep it myself, but well, you can gift it, of course. But well, with spending like time and money, they will like you over time, and you have like a friendship meter you raise, and there are like special points on that meter that are events, and you if you reach such a point, you will have to do like a quest, or there is like an event showing more story about the character, and if you pass this event, sometimes you have to battle someone and win. Sometimes you have to found something for a person or just help them out. And you do this like 10 times, or you are at the highest friendship level, and then you can go on dates.
Wow.
Yes. And if you interact like clever, what the person likes, for example, some people like to go on the beach, others mm-hmm. don't. So you have also decide on what location you want to go. Then you like raise the love meter. And after that, you can propose.
Oh my God.
And yes, and it was a stretch goal, the marriage, on Kickstarter, so it isn't implemented yet. But the idea is that you propose, and then there is like a wedding ceremony. The English word is very hard for
No,
me.
you got it. You got it. That was great.
Yeah, and the town is decorated very nice on this day, and your blobs bring you the rings.
Oh my God.
Yes.
Ridiculous.
Yes. But that's the basic idea. And after you marry it, you can breed your blobs together.
Oh my
so
God.
No children, but blobs. Yes.
I was just about to ask you, what are the repercussions of marriage? But that sounds incredible. You can actually, you and that characters who have their own blobs, you can now breed them with yours to make other blobs.
Yes, to make baby blobs and
oh my
new
God.
blobs. Yes.
That is outrageous. And I love it so much. I love how you were saying you can take them on dates, and well, certain characters, they would want to go to, let's say, would they tell you, I like going to the beach, and you have to be mindful of that at some point. So when you go on a date, you know where to take them. Is that how that works? Or
yes, some characters are pretty easy to guess, but some you have to try just when you take someone on the beach who doesn't like sand getting in his shoes, for example. He will complain then, oh, I hate this. And next time you have another chance. But for some you can guess, and some you have to a bit find out yourself. There are some hints, but I think it's really funny also to see like people failing at dates.
Right. Because... See, I was just going to ask you, can you fail to a point where that person no longer wants to even look at you anymore in the game, or doesn't even want to talk to you or respond to you? Like, what I'm saying
it
is,
isn't that hard?
Can you mess up so badly that you can't eventually marry that person in the game? Or will that always be on the table? Like, you can mess up 1,001 times, but if you get it right at some point, they'll consider breeding blob babies with you later on in the game.
Yes, yes. It's the typical farming life and genre. So you can't like lose the friendship completely. So it's not like super realistic, but I want to people enjoy it and not make a real life simulator.
Right.
So, yes.
I was going to ask you the follow-up, like, can you get divorced in the game?
We didn't decide yet, but we tend to not allow it.
Oh.
And we will offer many, many save files. Mm-hmm. So we tend to do it like this, because it's a bit strange when you get divorced and marry some other person, and the other person is in the same town.
Right.
So I think it's in Stardew Valley it was possible. Like, I think they forgot about it or something like that. But our game also targets a bit of a younger audience. Maybe it's a bit more cute and wholesome. So we consider just offering more save files and making it very clear in game that this decision is final and you can't revert this decision.
Right. And you can't also, I imagine, go on dates after that, or can you still date other people after you get married? Or are they just friendly dates, not romantic dates?
We didn't decide.
Hang on, this
yet,
is all very deep for what looks like a kid's game. I know it's a lot to ask. Yes. About divorce and relationships.
Yes, so pretty dark, getting dark fast. And blob battles also are actually like dark, like animal. I do not support animal cruelties or not something. Yeah, but we didn't decide yet, but we will probably still allow dates, but more like friendship. Not like very romantic with kissing or holding hands, because it would be a bit, well, not so wholesome anymore, maybe.
You want to make it like a, you know, PG-13, maybe younger than that, you can skew.
Yes.
Like hand holding is a lot, maybe.
Well, hand holding will be allowed, I
yes.
think. And like a small kiss, but everything Aww. Else is up to the fantasy of the player.
Mm-hmm. So with that in mind, when you have goals like that, you can aspire to, like finding that one person that you care about in the town and eventually marrying and training all your blobs and going on expeditions. Is there a point where the core game has like a period on it? Like, this is where the story kind of ends, but we can keep going and keep training and breeding. Is there like an overall story to the game that has a nice little bow at the end of it? Or is it just never ending and open experience, and you just keep going?
Well, you can, of course, play endless, but every character in town has like an own story. There are 13 characters. Oh, wow. And a mayor and some side characters. And if you reach like the highest friendship level with all, and if you explore all blob worlds, then there aren't like many new things. What you can do is still go on festivals or like explore the blob worlds further and find new blob eggs breed, make your farm bigger, decorate your house, redecorate. But after many, many hours of gameplay, there will be a moment where it's like more of breeding, decorating, and not so much new stuff. But you have to play really a lot of hours to reach this moment. So it's not like 2 days. You have
right, like you could do it in a weekend essentially, and then all right, I could just put this aside. This is an investment of your time,
yes,
and your life, which I love, because these games demand that sort of attention, because there's so much going on. Even in the game that's just like a Harvest Moon, for example, that's just strictly about farming, you have the farming aspect plus the Pokemon side of things. And I love how you've married these two concepts, so well, because if you're doing the farming component and let's say you're doing it for a long time, you get tired of that, you can just do an expedition with your blobs and go on some fighting and get some new eggs. And there's always things to do, which is great. You offer that level of those options to players, and it always keeps them hooked. And this is why games like these are very harmful to me, because once you start and once you look at these blobs and how cute they are, you're not going to want to turn this game off. I'm telling you right now. So let's talk about the blobs. How many blobs are there that you can essentially capture, hatch, breed, and tame? Is there a number you have in your head?
Yes, there will be around 75 to 100 base blobs. So like, for example, you have a turtle blob, a tiger blob, many blobs. But what is special about Ova Magica is that you can crossbreed all blobs, and the game also wants you to breed. It's breed.
Yes.
Yes, it's one of the main ways to make your blobs stronger. So we encourage to create your own unique blob with a custom look. So there are actually endless possibilities. Okay, not endless, but like a lot.
That's a lot, though. Now, can you take a crossbreed and another crossbreed and then crossbreed those to make a brand new crossbreed?
Yes, you can. There isn't a limit.
Yeah, this is bad.
I think I have an picture showing this on the Kickstarter site. Under the breeding header. So it's like a very small example, but you can endless continue this example.
Yeah, that's a lot. And does the now when you do these different crossbreeds, does the game log them as a, hey, you discovered this breed of a blob? How does it track all these new breeds you're discovering? Like, is there a Pokédex sort of situation going on in this game?
There is like a history of the parents of a blob, but if you breed the blob, you won't get like a new Pokédex entry.
Gotcha,
because there are too many possibilities.
It's like, and, is there a 10 million Pokédex entry?
Yes, but you get an entry if you find one of the 75 to 100 base blobs. Then you will get like an entry. There also will be like a trophy if you manage to get all. But for breeding, it's like your own creation, so no Pokédex entry.
Where do these blobs live on the farm? Where do they sleep? How do they exist in this world? Because I imagine that the blob worlds are like their native sort of lands where they come from. That's where the eggs are, I imagine, if we're talking about lore for this game. How do the blobs coexist with the people on this farm? What are they doing when they're not out battling or having sex to make new kinds of blobs?
Making love?
You mean? Yes, making love.
That was a bit more.
Making sweet blob love.
So you can be a campana. In your team, you can have three blobs. Mm-hmm. And this one follow you everywhere. And mm-hmm. your other blobs live like in a blob barn or like a stable or something like that.
I love it so much. Blob barn.
Yes. There you also hatch the eggs. Mm-hmm. And some blobs also help you with farm work. Like you can build a sprinkler and put a turtle blob on it. And then it stands on it and waters your plant or helps you with watering plants. So not all are in the blob barn. Some are outside on your farm doing like tasks.
Oh my God. We need these in our society. Okay, they could do all the grunt work that no one wants to do.
And oh, poor blobs.
They're always smiling though. They're always happy. They'll be glad to take out our garbage and water our plants and, you know, build our seesaws and stuff like that.
they only do it if you feed them. So they aren't doing it for free.
See, that's a good question. What do the blobs eat? What's their primary diet look like?
Well, they aren't so picky, to be honest. Mm-hmm. They eat like everything what humans eat too. Mm-hmm. They like sweets especially. Mm-hmm. And they have food cravings. So like one blob has every day three different dishes he mm-hmm. really wants. And if you manage to feed to him, it levels up. So you have to feed them the things they like so they get stronger.
So, and see, now that leads to another question because my mind is going into weird places. Do these things speak to you? Can they talk? How do they communicate to you what their favorite dishes are?
Well, they can't talk, but our player is such a talented blob trainer that he just have to look in the eyes of a blob and press the blob key on the keyboard and you see the dishes the blob wants to
eat. Okay,
yeah,
that makes sense.
Yes.
Now, as an obvious fan of Stardew Valley, Harvest Moon, and that genre, as well as Pokemon and Monster Taming games, did you look at those games and say, these games are amazing, but we can improve on this formula? How have you taken what you've learned playing all of these games from your childhood and in recent memory into account when developing and designing Ova Magica? Like, how have you improved these formulas in your game, knowing what works, what doesn't work in these type of games?
Well, I think I didn't improve so many things, but I picked like the things I liked most and left things out I didn't like so much, which for me, for example, were more boring, but it's like maybe a bit subjective, of course. The things I liked, I improved. Improved is like a hard word because it says that the other games aren't so good, but they are like masterpieces for me.
Right.
So I really love these games. They inspired me so much, but I just made a few things maybe a bit different, like you do things to make something unique to the game. So it's not maybe really better, but just a different experience and like all mixed together. And I picked like the cherries.
Right. All the things that taste good are in this game. And all the garbage you left on the side for the blob to pick up and throw away.
Yes, but there weren't so much garbage, to be honest.
Right.
Yes.
One of the main things I hear about, especially in games like Pokemon, is when it comes to battling, it's far too easy. What was your approach to this game's battle system? Is it just there for just trading punches with you and a blob? Is there actual strategy there? Are there weaknesses, elemental things to consider when battling other breed types? How does that whole thing work in Ova Magica?
So the battle system is not simple turn-based. Mm-hmm. It's like a lot of more complicated and you need more strategy to be really good. But if you aren't like super deep into it, you can also succeed, but you will need longer and need to level up a bit. But with strategy, you can actually have to think when to defend or when to attack. It's, I will say this now, but I think it's maybe really abstract for some listeners. It's an active time battle system. Mm-hmm. There's like a bar and your blobs move on this bar. And if you reach a certain point, you can attack mm-hmm. and you prepare a skill. And when a blob prepares a skill, it's vulnerable. So mm-hmm. if he gets attacked, then he gets a lot of damage. And so you have to decide, oh, do I prepare now a skill and risk to get a lot of damage, or do I defend? And of course, there are like elemental advantages and stuff, mm-hmm. but it's way more deep than Pokemon, I would say, the system in it. But we don't have so many types. Like, we have only 3 types, mm-hmm. but the system itself is like not turn-based, but you have to wait for the correct moment.
Gotcha. Right. See, yeah, I think that's the way to do it. I feel like with Pokemon, when I'm playing it, I'm just mashing a button just to get through the battle. And I'm not really thinking about what I'm doing because it's Pokemon. It's easy. It's not that difficult. So I'm going to win this battle if I just mash this one attack. And you can ignore a lot of weaknesses and resistances if you're high level enough and just kind of plow through the entire game. The blobs in this game, we mentioned before, you can crossbreed and breed them to make them stronger. But does a base blob, if you don't touch it, it's core species, does it undergo changes on its own? Does it gain new abilities as it levels up by itself without breeding with another blob? How does that look?
No, the base blobs don't evolve because mm-hmm. we want to encourage the player to breed.
Gotcha.
It's one of the core mechanics of the game. Mm-hmm. And there are many secrets you can also discover with breeding, like new skills and stuff. So if you really want to have a lot of stronger blobs, you will have to breed new ones mm-hmm. or find new eggs. So sometimes you get also a stronger one, but right. The ultimate blob is like you breed it yourself.
Ah, okay. See, I was going to say, are there like legendary blobs that are hiding somewhere? Like a rare egg that was lost like a million yes. years ago that you can come across
yes,
and it's like the be-all, end-all blob?
Yes, there are legendary eggs.
I love it. I love it. It's so good. So what is the game plan for you now? The Kickstarter, huge success, amazing story for you guys. It's ending in a little about a week or so. It's going to come to an end. I think you're going to hit your last stretch goal, which is blob fusion. What does the work look like for you once the campaign comes to a close and the real work, I guess, begins to get this over the finish line to release next year? What are your plans after the campaign comes to an end?
So our plans are to prepare the beta, which will be by the end of this year or beginning next year, depending on how fast we can progress. And we have like a plan what we need to develop and add to the game. It's mainly now about content, like the core mechanics are mainly done. You can see from the trailer, I think that the game is already in a fast stage, mm-hmm. but we want to add like a lot of content and the stretch goals we met on Kickstarter and hopefully release the beta this year. And then improve like bugs, but also mechanics based on the feedback. And if some listeners want to help us, you can on Kickstarter get better access. So this helps us a lot if we get feedback.
Oh, yeah. I can't wait for that. I'll give you all the feedback.
Yes, please.
I can't wait to jump in on this. It looks
be so harsh. Be mean. No. Be harsh. Yes, we want honest feedback to improve.
I have the Kickstarter page up right now and seeing some of these designs. There's like a poop emoji blob. It's like the yeah. most adorable thing I've ever seen. I love it. There's a cow with little horns, a little bee with little wings. It's I can't get over, I can't express to you how much I am in love with this game. It looks like Harvest 64, like the old like school games with modern sensibilities. And I love you and I hate you because this is going to destroy my life. It's going to, I'm going to ignore all responsibilities when this thing comes out. I can see it. I can look at it right now. I'm like, yep, this is my life. I can totally see myself losing myself completely. to this game. Now, I did notice one thing on here that it just caught my eye right now. This is a single player game.
Yes.
Was that something you that was always part of the plan? Because I you would think a game like this opens itself to some multiplayer component. Why did you guys stick with just single player for this experience?
So I started doing this like a hobby and didn't have like a plan to sell it professional. It evolved over time when I noticed that it was pretty good, how I progressed and how it looked. And so I just started a single player game, and we have all the core mechanics almost finished. And it's like one of my first professional games. So changing now in such a late development state, the core from single player to multiplayer is just too risky. We get asked every day, I want this multiplayer, and I know, but it's impossible for this game anymore because it would delay release a lot, and it's like a huge risk. So we never know what happens after release, if maybe there will be a new mode or something like that, or a new game with multiplayer. But for this one, it sadly will be single player for release, and I hope people understand. Of course, I wished it would be different, but at this development stage, it isn't possible to change the core anymore without risking like a huge delay.
Right. And I think it's more important to get the game out that you have envisioned than potentially push it back for maybe a year plus, even just to get multiplayer. Because I imagine once the game is launched and it starts selling like hotcakes, because it will sell like hotcakes, you can revisit multiplayer as some sort of huge update. I mean, even Stardew Valley, they took a while to get their multiplayer on their game, so there's no rush to get that going for a game like this. It's just when you th think about breeding and taming and the idea of trading with other characters, it's like it's innate. It's part of this genre. It's, well, I have this one, you have that one.
Yes.
I like that one, you like mine. We should do a swap thing and go from there. But again, I'd much rather we have a game that's its original vision and it's released in a timely fashion, because I've been burned so many times on Kickstarter and I'll never learn, Claudia, because I've funded games that have completely crashed and burned and never were released. And I always say to myself, don't always press that pledge now button, pledge here. But it takes like literally 2 seconds and I'm like, how fast can I throw my money at the screen?
Like this image of throwing the money. But for all listeners, it wasn't just a positive description of Kickstarter. So, yes, over magic.
I mean, listen, it's a risk. It's a risk going to
Yes,
the
of
platform.
course.
But I see that you have a great passion for this project. You're not, again, some amateur developer. You've been doing this for a long time, and now you're seeing your hobby come to life in this beautiful, wonderful way.
So it's like no more a hobby, I think. This year it's like really more professional. And what's also, I released three tech demos to always get feedback to improve. The last one was about the first battle system. You can also Google Let's Plays from it. So if some people maybe think like it's risky on Kickstarter, I don't see anything. You can already really see some a lot of gameplay we already have. And we always seek feedback, so I'm really confident that we will stick to the release plan. And it's not like a super huge risk if you.
Well, listen, having a game that's very much almost complete or well in development goes a long way when it comes to a Kickstarter campaign. I've funded things based on an idea. It's like,
Yes.
here's something I want to make. Here's a scribble of concept art. Give me money. And I'm like, oh, okay, yeah. Where do I sign up? Do you want all of my money? Can I advance my, can I do like a payday loan and eventually my paychecks? Well, what can I do? But this gives me more confidence because I can see it's real. It's a living, breathing game that
Yes.
exists.
Yes. Oh, I know I sent now all Kickstarter campaigns to your email of my dev friends.
Yeah, listen, if they have good games and they're well along in development, I will definitely throw money at it. I'm not picky. I'll tell you that much. All right, Claudia. Well, that's great. And you guys are still aiming for that May 2022 release window. Is that still
Yes.
the target for you guys?
Yes, it's.
That's good. All right, listeners and Claudia, it's time to dive into my favorite part of the show. Well, I got to learn about Claudia and her game, but now it's all about Claudia. What makes her tick? What are the demons in her closet? What are her deep, dark secrets? No, I'm kidding. It is time for a rapid fire. Okay, Claudia, it's a very simple calculus here. We're going to ask you some questions. You're going to give us some answers, and we'll make some memories along the way. How does that sound?
Sounds awesome.
All right. So we have some typical first questions here, but I'm going to break from the norm. I want you, Claudia, to take a good look at me right
Okay.
now. And if I was a blob, which I'm kind of like already there, all this quarantine weight is not a sexy look right now. I'm like 10 pounds overweight. I hate myself, but I'll get there. I'll get there. I'll wait till summertime to go on to drop some of that weight. But if I was a blob in your game, what would I look like? What would my core traits be? What would my abilities be like?
For me, you look like a blob liking metal music because you have a
Okay.
black top.
Yes,
So I
yes,
think your
yes.
core
All
abilities
right. This is
would be
very accurate.
like a super loud metal skill,
I
which
love it.
yes,
I love
which
that.
confuses the enemy. And you, yeah.
Okay. I may have to ask you to draw that at some point in the future. Just saying. Now, that's actually a good segue. Now, if you were a blob, if you were designing a blob based after what kind of person you were, what would that blob look like?
Oh well, I think I'm a squirrel blob
A
because
squirrel blob.
I'm more petite and tiny, and I'm talk pretty fast. So I like a really and also work pretty fast. So like a small squirrel, jumping around and very energetic. Yes.
I love it. I see that. Is that how you work also? Like you're just all over the place when you're working day to day on this game?
Okay, all other game days will hate me now, but yes, some days I do this. It's not super effective, but I tend to jump a lot.
Oh my God, Claudia, you just said super effective. I'm not sure if that was on purpose, but
I said yes.
that's a Pokemon reference. I'm gonna go with it. It's amazing. It's appropriate. I love you more than I did 5 minutes ago. We'll just say that. Pineapple on pizza, yes or no?
No.
Okay. Would you rather have the power of flight or invisibility?
Invisibility. I would stalk all the people.
Yes. See, you and I, we would get along really well, I think.
I would stalk you too.
I am going to look you up whenever I'm in Germany at some point in my life. I'll get there. I'm going to look you up and we're going to stalk some people and talk about blobs.
When you come to Germany, I invite you to a beer garden so
Oh
we
my
can.
God.
Yes.
Yes, I'm going to hold you to that. It's happening. Okay. When you're getting dressed to leave the house for the day and apparently go stalk people, that's what you do. And you're putting on your socks and your shoes. Do you put it on sock, sock, shoe, or sock, shoe, sock, shoe?
I put my socks after showering, so I have already the socks on, and
All
then
right.
I put on
All right, there you
the
go.
shoes.
When you've had one too many drinks at the beer garden, Claudia,
Yes.
it's you know what? It's going to happen really soon when the Kickstarter ends and you and the team are celebrating like crazy, toasting your yachts that you're going to buy, but you can't find a place for them in Germany. What word best describes you when you've had a little bit too much to drink?
Like embarrassing, really embarrassing.
Really?
Yes. The best thing what you can do if you are a friend of me, take me home as fast as possible. Yes.
See, now I would be the kind of friend that lets you drink too much. Like, I'm going to let her make a fool out of herself and just watch everyone laugh at her while we're here.
Well, it wouldn't be the first time, because we barbarians don't need a special celebration to drink beer. So it wouldn't be the first time.
What is the best monster taming game aside from Ova Magica, which is, you know, not out yet, but of the ones that are already released, what would you say is the best one?
Well, I think Pokemon, of course, and as child, I liked Jade Cocoon or something like that.
Oh, not my
known.
God, Claudia, Jade Cocoon.
Yes.
My heart. If I wasn't a gay man, I would ask you to marry me right now on this podcast. That is one of my favorite PlayStation 1 games.
Oh, so cool. Oh, mine too.
That's so good.
So we good. Should, we would play it instead of stalking right. people. We
so
now play it.
We're going to, I'm going to go to Germany. We're going to get some beers.
Yes.
And we're going to play Jade Cocoon. That's the game plan. That's the best date ever.
Yes, but my PlayStation 1 stopped working some months ago.
Don't worry about it. I will listen. We have the most, our modern phones can play PS1 games beautifully.
That so sounds
awesome. Don't worry about that. We will play that game. If you had the power to shrink anything, what would it be?
Well, that's really a hard question, but I think I would shrink my car to get a new one, but I don't think my insurance will cover this if I do it myself. So you should shrink my car so I get a new one.
And then just step on it?
Yes. And then make it big again. Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah, that could work. That could work.
See, I love how this question, people think about things that they can shrink to take with them for convenience and then unshrink. You're like, no, shrink my car, trash it, and then make it back to real size, and it's a wreck. I can get my insurance money, get a brand new car. I really like how your mind works. My kind of gal. I
hope kids don't listen, because I see I'm not like a super nice person. As it seems.
Is that why your game is so cute? Is it because you're hiding all the darkness inside of you? You're projecting this cute outside facade. Like, oh, look how cute my game is. But meanwhile, you're like plotting how to take over the world when no one's looking. Is that what's going on?
Maybe, but I thought that I was too a cute person and very nice. But now I realize that maybe I was a bit wrong about myself.
Right. Would you rather be able to travel back in time or go forward into the future?
Oh, forward, always forward. Mm. I don't like the past, and I think I also hated history lessons. I think it's, and I really want to see like the world looks in the future.
Mm-hmm. That's a good answer. What is more preferable? To be nice or to be fair?
Well, I think to be nice. I always wish that people... Okay, I say this after I said this with the car insurance, that it's not very...
No, that's looking out for yourself. You can still be nice and look out for yourself. There's nothing wrong with that.
Yes, but I think that fair is like very... subjective, because what is really objective fair? So right. I think the world would be better if everyone wouldn't always think, oh, it's fair, but well, yes, it doesn't harm anyone or something like that. Right. But yeah,
well, it could, though, because it could be fair, but someone could be on the losing side, even if it's fair. But we can all stand to be nice, and that makes the world a better place just because we're nicer to each other. I wouldn't be nice, but I'm just saying others can be nice.
When others are nice, the world is too better for you.
What is the dumbest way you've ever hurt yourself?
Well, I inhale neon off a balloon and talk. You mean something like that?
No, recently, this is one that our listeners are very familiar with. I was cutting potatoes with a mandolin, a potato cutter, and it got stuck and I put too much force and I took a whole chunk of my thumb off. It hasn't even fully healed. It's been about, I want to say, 3 or 4 months. It hasn't fully healed yet.
Don't show it. Leave your hand
down
below.
I'm not. But it was like a sieve, gushing blood. So, and I was like, wow, that was a really dumb way that I hurt myself just now. So with that story in mind, have you ever hurt yourself in an equally or not so equally dumb fashion?
Yes, it's a very embarrassing story.
That's what we're here for.
My friend forget the key. He wanted to visit her, mm-hmm. and her bathroom is on the first floor. Mm-hmm. And I'm a lot of smaller than her, so okay. We decided I climb up and go through the window inside.
Sure.
And the moment I'm climbing inside, it's very small. I'm almost thick. The parents come in and see me, and I try to go backwards because they didn't know me yet. They thought I was a burglar or something like that. And I fall back and hurt pretty bad. I didn't break something, but it was really embarrassing.
Oh my God.
Yes, and they thought I was a burglar.
Oh, that is precious. I love it. Mm. Oh boy. All right. Would you rather have edible spaghetti hair that regrows every single night? Or would you rather sweat maple syrup?
Both is pretty disgusting as a woman. Yes. So I don't know. I pretty the hair I can at least was.
Yeah, you can maybe put a tie in a bow or a little clip on it or something, or well, you could always cut it and have dinner for like ever. Just eat the pasta.
Did you come up yourself with these questions?
Some yes, some no. This one I found on the internets because it's full of amazing and wonderful things.
Because I would be very worried about your mind.
You should be.
Okay.
If you could have a cameo or a collaboration with another famous blob in video game history, and there are many, I did some research, there's actually a pretty decent amount of blobs, which blob would you want to have in your game?
Kirby. I love Kirby.
Oh my God, yes.
Is this even a blob? I don't know. For me, it looks like a blob.
You know what? He's practically there. He qualifies as a blob. So that's like the most perfect answer. I was thinking more like a boy in his blob, or like De Blob, or maybe like the blobs or jelly beans from Fall Guys could be good. But I think Kirby, and this game is coming to Nintendo Switch, so I think you should have that conversation with Nintendo.
Yeah, sure. I price them right away.
What's more painful? Stubbing your toe or burning your tongue?
Stubbing my toe. I never burned my tongue, so I don't know. But both aren't so hurtful, I would say. I can imagine a lot of things which are way more hurtful.
If you could only play one Pokemon game, what game would that be?
Pokemon Red.
Pokemon Red.
Yes, it's my childhood memories, and it will always have a place in my heart. Cliche, yeah.
No, you have to go back to the basics. That's where everyone first fell in love. It's back where it all started. And like, I first began with Pokemon Yellow. I was a little bit late to the Pokemon party as a kid, but I definitely lean more towards the older entries than I do the newer ones. Have you played much of Sword and Shield? Or
I played, but not much, because I was pretty busy the last years. But I played, and many people don't like it, but I personally enjoyed it because I love the aesthetics. I love the cute art, the colorful world. Mm-hmm. So for me, it was enjoyable, but more of a casual aspect. So walking a bit, seeing cute Pokemon, So I didn't play like very deep, also didn't finish it, to be honest. But I enjoyed.
Very nice. And I think we should end on a fun question here. Let's say, speaking about Nintendo, let's say Nintendo said to you, Claudia, we want to have one of your blobs appear in Smash Brothers as a character. And there's 75 blobs from the non-crossbred variations. Which blob would you elect to best represent Ova Magica in Smash Brothers?
The cow blob?
Yes.
My favorite, yes. Because as you see, like farming and
yes,
a cute cow. Who can resist a cute cow?
That is the right answer. Oh my God, I love it. Claudia, thank you so much for coming on the show. You have been a gem. I feel like you're one of my favorite people that I've spoken to on this podcast. I feel like we're kindred spirits, you and I.
Oh, I will watch your old podcast and see if you said it to everyone on your podcast.
No. Well, I say, it's the beauty of this show is it's not about telling your story and your game and how it came to be. It's also for us making good friends along the way. And I wish you nothing but the best with this game. And just, I am seeing a game like this get so much attention from people. It gives me renewed faith in the world that it's actually a good place and great things can happen. And games like this are the proof of that. So with that bunch of fluff and horseshit that just came out of my mouth, tell us and our listeners, where can we find you? Where can we find Ova Magica? Give us the whole pitch. all the social media outlets, the Kickstarter, give us all that stuff before we say goodbye.
Okay, so to make it not so long, if you Google Ova Magica, you find my website, ovamagica.com, and there you have links to all the other stuff. But what's currently very important for me and the team is our Kickstarter campaign, which is still up for around a week. So if you want to support us, you can Google also Ova Magica Kickstarter. And there you can see if you maybe want to buy like a cute blob plush or the game as physical Nintendo Switch version. Just look it up. Yes.
Yeah, I'm going to get all those blob plushies. It's going to happen. You're going to make me go bankrupt, Claudia. And I'm not even mad at you. I'm not even mad. Thank you, Claudia. That was Ova Magica, which is currently on Kickstarter right now with only about 6 days to go. So please check it out. You will not be disappointed. And again, thank you for joining us, Claudia. You were amazing to talk to. Your game looks amazing. I cannot wait for it to come out. And listeners, take a cue from Claudia and me. Always be nicer to each other, because people like us will be around to make the world a not so nice place. All right. Thank you for listening. And until next time, please be excellent to each other.